Hey, friends, welcome back to another Field and Garden podcast. It is your friend, Lisa Mason Ziegler, and thank you so much for choosing to take a listen to us. And if this is your first time joining, you're kind of new to the Gardener's Workshop, I invite you to drop in over at thegardenersworkshop.com, where we just have a lot of resources for you, from lots of videos, my blog, the podcast, our online garden shop, our online courses for gardeners and for flower farmers. And there's just a lot of fun over there. And, you know, if you want to like stay in the know, be sure you sign up for our weekly farm news, where it's kind of like a front page headliner page. It kind of has the headlines of all the different things going on in the farm and what's time to do and special sales and just a lot of fun stuff. So you are invited to sign up for that. I would love for you to join us. So I have a really special guest here today. I'm super excited to learn more about what she has been up to. It is Andy Thacker of Rimrock Flower Farm, and she is out in Roundup, Montana. Welcome.
What a name, right?
Welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, you know, we reached out to Andy. She's taken my course, and lo and behold, this girl is up to a lot of very interesting flower farming stuff. And I said, man, we just need to do a podcast with her so that we can hear all about what she's doing. And so, Andy, start us off by first off kind of telling us how you got started in flower farming and where you're located and how big your farm is.
Okay. So, like a lot of people, I discovered flower farming on social media. And also, like a lot of people, I never even had a thought of where flowers came from. You see them in the grocery store. I had never even thought about it. So, strangely enough, I'll back up a little bit. Right as I discovered flower farming, we were getting ready to move back to Montana. My husband's from here. We were living in Northern California at the time. I discover it on Instagram and we moved to Montana. So, you know, I spend all winter long. We moved in November. I spend all winter long reading every book I could read, watching every YouTube video. And that spring, right before that spring, I found an 8-horse Troy built tiller on Craigslist. And I had been listening to you for a while already at that point. And I actually took your class that winter. But I found that tiller online. I said, I'm going to go till up that lawn. And that's what we did. So tilled it up. And I just started that first season with 12 50-foot rows. And each season since, we've added on a little chunk of land and we're about out of room now. So now we're kind of at the point where we're kind of looking for a little expansion land.
So first off, I want to say that 12 50-foot rows is a perfect jumping in. You know, I mean, that's enough volume that you can really grow some flowers. And it'll either like smoke you out if you don't want to do this, right? It's enough work.
Right.
it'll make or break you. So I think that is super smart. And she's talking of why she's mentioning her 8-horse Troy. That is exactly what, you know, some people say that I married Steve for his 8-horse Troy build. That's not really true, right? But I have the same model. And that's kind of what I launched my flower farm on. So tell us what zone you are and when did this all start?
So we started, we are actually just ending our third season. So I'm, you know, pretty new on the scale of flower farming as well. We are in a very cold 4B, a little bit high plains desert. So 3,300 elevation. It is not uncommon for us to see 40 below in February. Wow. And have snow all the way through April. We had a lot of delayed seedlings this year to do a long cold spring, but our summers are very warm. Last year was really high drought year and very hot temperatures over 100. This year was a little more mild and not so much of a drought. And I think like a lot of people, we start very small. I have 1 acre of peonies that was our kind of larger investment in year two. And then my perennial and annual field is only an eighth of an acre. So it's still really small and scalable. With the business, I think the land growth is going right along with how fast our business is growing.
And so, and I'm sorry, did you say what year did you start?
2019.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. An acre of peonies. I mean, you know, Dave Dowling just yells that from the rooftops that if you really think you're serious about doing this flower farming gig, that's the first perennial you need to invest in so that you can get production up and running.
Yes.
Because you can return your money in no time, right?
Oh, yeah.
So tell us, so I'm looking at you in your beautiful home and I see buckets of flowers behind you. So tell us a little bit about your farm. Do you have an outdoor space to work? I mean, people just always want to know. So what are you doing all this? Do you have a barn? What are you doing it in?
Well, we do everything right from our home. So our yard has been converted into a flower farm. Our basement has been converted into a grow room, and our garage has been converted into, we just built a walk-in cooler this spring. I think it was March. It was pretty late into the spring. And so my poor husband, every little space has been converted into one part of this business or another. And the flowers on the table, on the kitchen table, are here because we're documenting dahlias for our tuber sale.
You know, I mean, where there's a will, there's a way. I just did a webinar last night about starting a flower farm in your backyard. People think that that's kind of like a crazy statement, but it's not at all. Because I literally started the very same way you did, you know, you just stand in the backyard and think, all right, where can I get another bed? All right. I think the pathways need to be a little narrower.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that is so awesome. So tell us, Andy, about who are your customers? What you started selling to, and then what it has that changed over the past 4 years?
Yes. So we started our very first year with the 12 rows, really just selling hyper local just here in our town. So we do have ordering through our website, people can go to. And then that summer, I actually met up with a group of other entrepreneurs here in our tiny little town, and we started a Wednesday night farmers market. Oh. And so that was like a perfect outlet for us to get our name out there. We do a booth at the farmers market every Wednesday, and meet people and talk about what we're doing. And then that was year one, and year two, I need more room to keep up with the demand. People in Montana a lot of them have never even heard of locally grown flowers. So as soon as they hear that, you know, they're hooked. And so we sell to a few event florists in the bigger city of Billings. We sell pre-made bouquets at a few retail locations there. We sell at a coffee shop. We do bouquet subscriptions. We do a little of everything right now.
So Andy, what is your total acreage or lot size or whatever you have there?
Probably 1 1/8 acre. I don't even really count the peonies right now because they're so young. We're not harvesting off of them. And so our whole business is being ran off about 1/8 of an acre.
Wow. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, people are saying right now, holy cow, I could do that. You know,
oh, absolutely.
I mean, isn't it just absolutely surprising how many flowers you can produce off of a small space? All right. So you're selling then at farmers markets to event florists, and the demand is really amazing. I have talked to other people that are up in your neck of the woods and those up in the just really high northern regions. And you're right. People just assume they have to buy flowers grown in South America. You know,
right.
I just don't even think that they can, that's even an option. Right.
Right.
So I think something else that I think people really are always very interested in. What was your did you have a previous career, and your husband? It's like, what did y'all bring to the table to help you figure this out potentially, or did you?
Nothing related to flower farming. That's for sure. My husband is a lineman. And so that's what he did before he moved here. That's what he does now. So I would say he's just taking a really strong work ethic into this business. And myself, I'm a stay-at-home mom, but before that I always worked in customer service. I was a bartender and I worked at a call center. But always really loved interacting with people, and I loved getting great customer service. So that's, number one in our business. So just going into this, I would just say, we just have a really strong work ethic is what we are bringing to the table, and not a lot of fear of failure.
And that is such a gift. So I want to say that I try to share with people, because, I'm like you, I didn't really have any, I was barely a gardener, right? When I launched my flower farm, but it's about having that ambition and that work ethic and the desire to please people, and then just figuring out what you need to do. And it sounds like y'all were like a perfect match. That is so incredible. So I want to hear about the Montana Cut Flower Association. What is that? How did it come about, and what does it do?
So we are so excited to finally get this off the ground. It started as 4 flower growers here in Montana, and one very lovely, she works for our extension office over in Western Montana. And we started it in February of 2021. So this is like the dead of winter for us, when we're all itching to be flower farming, but we're not. Most of us don't even have seed started yet. And we would always chat online and say, why don't we have something like this? Every other state has something like this. And that's kind of where it was born. We jumped on however many Zoom calls we had, and finally incorporated. And we had, luckily, my lovely sister-in-law was willing to do a little IOU work on our website, and got this beautiful website built for us. And we launched in the winter of 2021. So got it up fairly quickly, and have just been working every single day, putting content onto the website for these members that are trusting us in this brand new association. And then now it's taken off with such speed that we're able to offer this conference that we're putting on in a couple weeks. We have so many speakers lined up that will be really beneficial. We're going to be offering some scholarships to our members to take classes like yours, and just really awesome. The networking part of it alone is incredible for us to all band together and get the word out to really just local Montanans that, yes, you can buy these beautiful flowers that are, like a better product,
right.
From someone that lives in your town or at least in your state. Montanans are very proud of their Montana made products. So, selling that is not a problem.
Sure. So is your conference for flower farmers and end users, or is it primarily for growers?
Well, primarily for growers. The content of our speakers is soil health and pest management and all of that good stuff. We didn't close it off to anyone. I think we do actually have a few just gardeners that are coming.
Well, that's primarily like us, right? That's how we started, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, that's sowing the seeds. So that's in 2 weeks. And how do people learn about that?
So we do have an Instagram account. It's just Montana Cut Flower Association. We have the website, of course, which is montanacutflowerassociation.org. And all of the member content is password protected. So, but we do, our membership fees are really low. We want people to get in, at a low cost and be able to, reap all of these benefits that we're putting on there for them.
Sure. So, my mind's just reeling from all of this. I mean, I think first off, the thing I'm thinking is Montana, really?
I know.
You know what I mean? It's like, of course I have friends that, are growing in Montana, but I just never knew that there was so many. And I think that's something that How did y'all initially find one another? Was that through social media? You know what I mean? For someone
that's
listening
to this. Yeah, I think we did. There were, you know what it was? I think a few of us, there's five of us now, and a few of us linked up on social media, on Instagram, and then one of those three actually sent out an original email, like a PSA, to the master list of anyone in the floral industry in Montana, florists and gardeners and everyone. And that's kind of what got the ball rolling. And so then, of course, now we all go on vacation together and we're best friends and talk every day about growing. And
is that not the way to do it? I mean, in business, sometimes I think that's perhaps one of the pieces that people that don't find their people to network with, whether it be in a state association or in a course community, what have you, that go without, you know, having everybody come together to support you when you have a problem or a disaster or congratulations, right? I mean,
absolutely.
That is just really, really awesome. All right, Andy. So I want to ask you too about, you took my course, right?
Yes.
Basics. So tell me about what aspects of the course kind of resonated with you and seemed to help the most. And so you took it the very first year that you were plunging into business. So just what do you think people need to know or, you know, and how it helped you?
I would say, of course, your class offers all of the growing information that make things very simple, which, you know, in today's world of YouTube and social media, you can really get lost. I would say I have a few. One is to walk in with confidence. That story that you tell about how you walked in with your flowers and Steve told you if you get enough, they don't buy your flowers, we're never going there again. That really resonated with me. And I said, you know what? We do grow. I didn't even grow a flower at this point, but I thought I am going to grow this amazing product. And how dare they, if they don't want to buy it from me, how dare they? And so I think going into this, into that with a lot of confidence was number one. And number two, to be a sustainable business, you don't have to just know how to grow the flowers. You really have to know how to be a good business person. When I was not even selling yet at that point, I said, you better fake it until you make it. So I may not know how to go in and use the appropriate terminology, but I'm going to learn the terminology before I get there. I'm going to know everything that I should know before I walk in and present myself very professionally so that, and then people just take you seriously, whether you know what you're doing on the, in the background or not. So those two things were really big for me that I took away from the class.
I think, confidence is huge. Yeah. The story about Stevie pushing me, to take my flowers, because in my mind, I thought that the florist, that's who I was targeting when I started my business. I thought they were like flower experts, that they were like the holy grail, right?
Right.
Of the flower world. But in fact, that is not, that's the exception instead of the rule. They're people that love to design. They really don't know tiddlywinks about growing flowers or, and that's one reason, you know, I caution people, don't go into a flower shop and say, what do you want me to grow for you? Because they have no clue what that would be, right? I mean, they're going to say, oh, yeah, we love glads and roses and all the things that, you know, we don't want to grow or can't really grow and
eat
on. So the confidence thing, and I'll tell the story just so people understand what we're talking about. So I read Lynn Bozinski's book, The Flower Farmer. I think it was like in July and August of 1997 or 98. I can't remember which year it is. Anyway, I was reading it at the height of summer and I got all pumped up. And then what am I going to plant? So then I planted a few cool flowers, which of course, back then we didn't know they were called cool flowers. And they wintered over. It was sweet peas, sweet William, Rudbeckia, and snapdragons. And I successfully started them all from seed, from getting good sound advice, which I had been a dreadful seed starter up till then. And that spring came and my flowers started blooming. And every night at the dinner table, Stevie would say, "When are you taking your flowers down to the florist?" By the way, the florist that I had been stalking all winter because it had a big gift shop. So I could go in there and like see who was in charge and all that kind of stuff. And every night at the dinner table, I hemmed and hawed. I had so many excuses. I mean, I was just terrified basically to go down there. I thought they're going to take one look at my flowers and say, "Why would we want your garden flowers?" You know, I mean, that was like the worst thing. And when I finally told Stevie that, he said, "All right, here's what we're going to do. You take your flowers down there tomorrow. And if they don't want to buy your flowers, we'll just never go in there again." And that liberated me that I didn't have to face them after that bad confrontation. But of course, that's not how it went, right? So I think, Andy, that all of us underestimate the power of the holdback from not having confidence sifting through all the different things. So sorry about that. So what would you find to be the most beneficial to your business or your situation perhaps that came from the course? Was it the business part or the growing part, or what part of that seemed to help you?
Definitely the business part. I don't even think it would have been on my radar to have a website ready to go had I not taken your class. I think I would have grown the flowers and maybe posted something on Facebook, you know, which some people start that way and that's great. But I think the professional, you placing the importance on being professional, looking professional, speaking professionally, pushed me to get that website up and ready so that when the flowers were ready, I was ready to sell them. So that was definitely a huge part of it. And then of course, Cool Flowers, we not only myself, but the people on our board, we've all taken your class and we tell everyone that we talk to about flowers. You've got to read this Cool Flowers book. If you garden or grow flowers in Montana, you have got to read this book. You've got to watch our YouTube videos because Montana's rough. I mean, our season's very short. If you have a greenhouse, you're maybe coming into season in April and maybe ending in October. And if you don't, like us, it's even shorter. And so had we not been able to do Cool Flowers, we would be in season so late. I mean, we would have 2 months, maybe. So Cool Flowers, that piece of it is very instrumental if you are myself or any other northern grower.
Well, and anybody that's growing out in the field. I mean, I think that's other illusion that people think that you have to have a structure to be successful. And of course, because I'm in the middle of the city, that's not even an option. So, and again, that's just building your confidence. And I think that your remark earlier that you fake it till you make it. I mean, I can still remember back, I had been selling to florists for a couple of years or to two florists in the very beginning. And that's when I launched my members only on farm market, which it wasn't called that back then. I mean, we went through craziness trying to figure out what to call it. But basically, the flower junkies in town, the ladies in garden clubs that wanted flowers, you know, they would literally come to my carport. I had no building that I'm sitting in. I had nowhere.
Right.
I live in a bungalow. So there really wasn't any house space. I can still remember their surprise when they would come and hear, they'd walk into my yard and they turn the corner and it's like, holy cow. And then better yet than that, I mean, you saying that brings back such memories. I remember the first open garden I ever had for commercial customers, which is, by the way, the best way to learn something you don't know. That was back before I knew that florists loved hellebores, which is a perennial, you know, that grows in the shade. And I have an enormous, I mean, like a 30-foot circle of very mature hellebores. And I can still remember having them come over and they walked around with their mouths kind of open, like, this is where all those flowers come from, this small garden. And when they saw my hellebore patch, they said, when are these going to be available? I said, oh, I just haven't started harvesting them yet, thinking to myself, holy cow, you want to buy them? You know, you just fake it till you make it. And, you know, You get that confidence, I think, when you get a little bit of information you feel really good about, and you're with other people that can back you up, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if there is anybody out there, Andy, that's thinking about taking the course, so enrollment, you know, is normally the first week. It's actually not a full week. It's only 5 days of October. And it only happens once a year. And then we don't enroll again to the next year. So it's like, you know, what I always like to say, what I consider when I'm embarking on something like this, it's like, all right, if I don't do this, what am I going to do to grow or change or be better a year from now? Right. So what would you say to somebody that's thinking, I don't know if I need to do that or not?
I would advise them, well, obviously to take the class, and this is why, because they can either take your class and learn the mistakes and or what not to make from you and your community, or they can say, I don't want to invest in that right now. I'll wait till I'm a little bit further down the road and make the mistakes themselves and pay for it that way. So I say, pay the money and take the class and learn the mistakes now so you can avoid them next year and in the future, or pay it in unsold flowers next year.
It's true. And you know, the way I'm that old money girl, the bottom line, I look at something and say, all right, $600, it's $595, right? I think that's, isn't that terrible? I don't even know. $600, that's like potentially two farmers markets, two subscriptions. I mean, right. That is a drop in the bucket. And I only say that to bring the reality to people that there is definitely, this is a viable business. When you follow a few steps, what I see so very, very often, I'm sure you see it too, all over social media.
Oh yeah.
People saying how, you know, this is, can't do it. I can't do it. There's no money to be made. I'm failing here. I'm failing there. And you're looking at what they're doing and there's like red flags all over it, you know? So I just want to say, if you want to make this a go, you can make it a go.
Absolutely.
So Andy, tell us about how people can connect with you. Talk about your website and your social media.
Very easy. So the name of our farm is Rimrock Flower Farm, just one word, Rimrock. And so we're on Instagram and Facebook. And then of course our website is just rimrockflowerfarm.com.
And did I hear you mention that you sell tubers?
We do. Yeah. Yep. I dabbled a little last season and sold a ton of them. I could not believe the demand for dahlia tubers. And so this year we have got our system in line and taking pictures. We will not ship until the spring. After frost is gone out of the shipping equation, but yeah, we're going to sell some tubers and get them out into the world.
And so here's what I want to say about that. So my really good friend, Daniel Shavey of Petal Pickers, who is in Greenville, South Carolina, and I hope he's not getting pounded by this Hurricane Ian right now, but Daniel has been sharing, I'm speaking to all of us that live in the southern half of this country, of the United States. Daniel's method of madness for growing dahlias, which are 50 million dahlias he grows, is that he plants later. He is not hot to trot to get those dahlia tubers in the ground when you're in the South, because our pest and disease pressure during the heat of the summer. So I would say to you, if you want to get dahlias from Andy and it's like, oh, wow, but she doesn't ship until April or whatever your shipping time is. That is totally a gift to a Southern grower. I mean, obviously it works for growers. So Andy, you know, I just appreciate you joining me here and sharing your words of wisdom about the course. And I'm just so happy to see that we all have the same number of minutes in a day. We all have access to the same stuff, but it's like, what's the difference between the person that makes it or the one that doesn't make it? And it's the way we apply ourselves. You just got to get up and do it. And I think your attitude of getting up and brushing your knees off, pulling your big girl britches up and just going at it again, right? I mean,
absolutely.
The road to success is paved with failures. And I think when people understand that, it's like, oh my gosh, how many times I can remember so many bawling fests back when I first started with total losses over things. Oh, yeah. I mean, back then, y'all have to remember when I started Flower Farm and we barely had the internet. I mean, is that like aging me or what? But it's like you didn't have instant support and figuring things out. And, you know, I just appreciate your input. And I know that people do too. And I encourage people to connect with her. I mean, the way that the growers in Montana are banding together to support and become friends, competition is not the problem. I mean, isn't it the truth?
It is so the truth.
And you know, when I went to my first farmer's market, they had another flower grower down, way down the, it was at Colonial Williamsburg. So it was a pretty big farmer's market. And I just marched myself right down there and introduced myself and said, hey, why don't we ask that they put us right across the street from each other so that the flower people can come right here. And we made a plan and became, and we're dear besties today.
Oh, that's amazing.
You know, and that's from like 20 years ago. And yeah. You know, she sold a ton and I sold a ton, you know, so I think people get fearful. I also want to say that people think there are so many flower farmers out there, but in fact, I would be willing to say there's a lot of people on social media looking like they're flower farming, but to actually be in business doing it, you know, you're a flower home gardener until you start selling flowers. And right. Once you do that, you just have to hit the ground running. And I'm so happy for you, Andy, and so impressed, and wish you, the very best of luck.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having us on. It's an incredible opportunity to get to talk about not just flowers. We could talk about flowers all day, but Montana grown flowers. We are very, very thankful for you having me on.
So, and we will have in the show notes below this, all of the links that Andy spoke of, her website, the Growers Association, and her social media connections. And friends, I just encourage you to reach out and also buy some dahlias from Andy. All right, folks, until we meet again, head on over to thegardenersworkshop.com if you'd like to learn more about us and the work that we're doing there. There's more information over there on my course, as well as our other library of courses. We would love to have you join us there. And this is 2022. And this year, enrollment is October 1st through the 5th. And then school starts November 1st and runs for 6 weeks. And, you know, if you're not familiar with online courses, you have access to the course for life. It's just like buying a book, but instead of picking the book up, you just pick up your device and log into your online library. And this year, we have announced that the new tool that we've added to the course, the Cool Flowers Growers Report, which is a database tool, will be instantly available to folks that purchase the course before school starts. And all of my students already have access to that. You can go in and she can look up zone 4B where she is and see what other people's experiences are. You can add your own information and it populates. It's an amazing tool and it is only available to my students. And we just think that I think Cool Flowers is a really cool season hardy annuals. It's just a huge blind spot for most of us. And we're just trying to do everything we can to open the door. All right, Andy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa. And
have a delightful winter. And I can't wait to see what y'all come up with. And I can't wait to hear about your conference. That sounds very, very exciting.
Absolutely.
All right, friends. Ciao.